All right, let's get ready for our morning of worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to quieten you down. No. get yourself in line for a morning of worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the design of the local assembly. How grateful we are for this humble assembly. Pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Now, March the 4th, today, 1901, Daniel Whittle died. Now, let me tell you who Daniel Whittle is. Daniel Whittle was in the war between the states, made his way to general, and was wounded. And got out, and he went on to start becoming a successful businessman, and he ran into Dwight L. Moody. He believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, and really got, pardon the slang, turned on to the Lord, and started really working for the Lord. And Dwight L. Moody told him that he should become an evangelist. And so he's one of the first evangelists that used to travel around. He had a singer and song director. Billy Graham had both. Grady Wilson was the song director. Of course, Beverly Shea was the singer. But Whittle wrote a number of hymns. But if you will open your hymnals to 344, we will stand and sing. But before you do that, take your Bibles and look at 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. And let's read verse 12 together. For this reason, I also suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced. I like the King James here, persuaded. I am persuaded that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So if you'll stand and sing, let's sing a hymn that Daniel Whittle sang, I Know Whom I Have Believed. must have been quite a man. He's accomplished so much in his life. But you consider men like Daniel Whittle, who influenced strongly by Dwight L. Moody, and Zephyr, who wrote It Is Well With My Soul, was on his way. His wife and daughters were on their way to England because Dwight L. Moody was having a conference and they wanted to be there to support him. And that's when his four daughters died at sea. But he wrote It Is Well With My Soul. Just the kinds of people that Dwight L. Moody influenced. Really impressive when you just start grasping his influence in regard to history. Okay, now, first of all, talking about influence. I don't know how you feel about these morning things, these printouts. I love them. I think they're good because you get to take them home and have to find somewhere to store. No, have to have it. If you need to study something, go over the verses, something like that, you have it. But I don't know how much longer we're going to have it. James keeps trying to catch up with me. So his birthday was yesterday, and he's just getting older and older. But that's okay.
Let me be clear. I hurt my back 2 days ago. Yesterday was a big pain. Not a good birthday.
That happens to old people a lot.
By the way, before we go further on the sermon today, I'm going to sing a solo today. And the words to the chorus are on the back, and y'all are welcome to join in the chorus.
But when you hurt your back, old people do that a lot, I understand.
I picked up about 20 boxes that were extremely heavy.
And old people have good excuses. Okay. First of all, as far as our prayer, we need to pray for Ben Daig. Ben has bronchitis, and the Daigs are home this morning trying to take care of Ben, so be in prayer for the Daigs. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
Okay. Well, pray first. The sound system update is working well, working a little bit too well.
That's good.
Well, I need a prayer request for this afternoon because the standing mic is getting too sensitive. So when we try to raise it up, it hums so bad because it's too close in proximity. Then we need to find a solution like having the hanging mic or something, but I will need to talk to Tony first and then talk to Jim and everybody. And in the meantime, I'm trying to keep reminding Pastor to repeat the question before he answers.
Good
luck. For those of you on the internet, Julie's requested that we pray for a better sound. The sound system's great. It's too good. It's working too well. And sounds like my wife talking to me after we were married. It's just too good. No. That's not exactly what she said. But so we need to be in prayer working on that. Okay. There was a hand. Yes.
If we could still continue to pray for Dalton.
Good.
Still struggling with the health battles subsequent to flu and pneumonia.
Wow.
And, his body is just struggling to.
Wow.
And he's still very, very weak and challenges.
Has he had to miss school and all?
Well, no, Dalton's graduated. He's working.
Oh, okay. But he had to miss work.
He's missed a lot of work, yeah.
Wow.
Liam then will drive him up to the church to do what he has to do and then get him back home. Yeah, he's okay. Not functioning well at all.
Wow.
So this has been about 5 weeks, I think.
We got to pray for Dalton. He's helped us out at our camp for many years. We need to be in prayer for his health. And
he's working at their church. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Employed at their church. So
okay.
He's in the battle.
All right. Need to be in prayer.
A praise to. We have our first clan meeting today at our house this afternoon with about, 42 campers.
Wow.
And about 10 young adult staff.
Very good.
In addition to the patriarch.
Very good. All right, we'll be in prayer. Thank you for telling us. All right, any other prayer requests? No? Yes, Gigi. Okay. And prayer for voting goes on. And so Larry requested, for the sake of the benefit, for the young people, for Dalton. Dalton would be your...
My cousin.
Your cousin. Yeah. And your...
That's your
nephew. All related. And Dalton comes with a group and plays at our summer camp every summer. So we need to be in prayer for Dalton. And any other prayer requests that we have? Okay. Now, let's get ready. Next Sunday, both services, you want to be here. John Hintz is coming in, and he will teach next Sunday. Then the following Monday, week from tomorrow, we need for Houston for the pastor's conference, so please be in prayer for the pastor's conference and our safe travel. Usually, they have it where he's here on Communion Sunday. We have it on Communion Sunday, but didn't work out that way this time. So next Sunday, John Hintz will be here, so please be ready to hear him. Yes?
That next weekend is also the daylight savings time.
Oh, we change? Spring forward. Yeah, all right. Thank you. Yes. So we'll do that. And now, another people, we can talk about the young people. We need to continue this camp. I'm just so amazed at how much is accomplished with how many young people at the camp. We need to support it. But rather than just ask you to give money, we've got different things we want to do. Like we had a chili cook-off a couple weeks ago. Now we have flower time.
Yeah. And we're selling flowers all the month of March, starting now. Terry had put electronic order form online.
Mm-hmm.
And
Leslie emailed it out.
And I, not Phil. So this is for those of you who do not want to order online. You can order and give me what you'd like. And we're going to get the orders in by the 29th of March or 27th of March, and they'll be delivered April 14th. Okay?
So, and for a hefty fee, Phil will come and plant them for you. A hefty fee.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can see we updated the thermometer last week with kind of where we are on our fundraising goals. So if flowers don't suit you.
All right, we'll just continue pushing that old thermometer up. All right. Let's see. Any other prayer requests? Announcement? Yes. Yeah, that's right. She'll be traveling this week, coming home from California. Went to California for her sister's birthday. So, let's be in prayer for a safe travel home. And anything else? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, meaning coerced by the church, but gives freely, graciously. Therefore, this believer is filled with the Holy Spirit, guided with the Holy Spirit what to do with his time and money. With these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you're not into numbers. We learn this through a multitude of stories from the Old Testament. And Father, we thank you so much for this assembly. It's humble. But you've given us so many areas of outreach. The young people, camp, meeting in two different homes in this assembly. Missionary outreach. The internet, Father, which we are just overwhelmed with what you're doing in that area. And Father, we just thank you now for the comfort and joy we have with the interaction among ourselves. We thank you, Father. And therefore, we pray you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. 'Tis a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will wane. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is big ships don't sail this way anymore. no use of it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse I've all my life to hear. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown a light.
Don't let anyone kid you, James. For us, your voice is beautiful, even though you are 71. You've been saying that since you were 37. And you're right, it is getting closer. Does anyone not have crown of righteousness? Last week we covered the crown of life. This morning we cover the crown of righteousness. Last week I introduced with this quote, and I thought I wanted you to have it for your own personal file. The man who perseveres or preserves his ultimate loyalty to Christ must remain in the eyes of the world a fool. This came about last week when that lady said Christians are mentally ill. Because He has placed Himself alongside the one who was and is despised and rejected of men. All the updating of the world cannot free a truly Christian theology from that scorn and rejection. But the scorn and rejection are easily overcome as soon as Christ is abandoned. The real danger in the church and to the Christian is not that his theology may appear foolish and weak to men, but that it may be more popular, like the Beatles, gives you an idea of his time frame, be more popular like the Beatles and attract general attention and approval. This was written by Harold O.J. Brown, The Protest of a Troubled Protestant. I do recommend the reading of that book. It's an excellent book. Okay. Crown of righteousness. Now to me, this is truly the gold of the crowns. This is the top crown. Ask the question, why did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross and die that shameful death of spiritual death? Why indeed? Because God is perfectly righteous, God, and all mankind unrighteous in His sight. Multitudes of people wear crosses around their necks and chains in different places, and it would, as wonderful, they think that's wonderful, but let me tell you something. Wouldn't it be wonderful to wear for all eternity the image, the true image of what Christ is about, the crown of righteousness. He satisfied the perfect righteousness of God on the cross. He imputes God's righteousness to everyone who believes in Him. He gives the crown of righteousness at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. In the future, judgment seat of Christ, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But not only to me, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. Once again, we're taken back to the ten questions of Job. Job 4:17. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? The word translated just is the Hebrew word tzedak, meaning to be righteous. Can mankind be righteous before God? And the answer, of course, is no. There is none righteous, no, not one. God is perfect righteous, and we are unrighteousness. So, there is an impassable gulf between God and man. But our Savior friend Jesus Christ came in the form of man, established a bridge between the perfect righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man, and that bridge is the cross. All a person, any person, has to do is to believe in Jesus Christ, and that person is imputed with the perfect righteousness of God. And now, dear people, while you will be perfectly righteous throughout all eternity, you have the opportunity of wearing an outer crown of that righteousness for all eternity, glorifying Jesus Christ, thanking and praising Christ for imputing to you His own righteousness. Next question, Job chapter 8, verse 3. Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? And this, my friends, is at the core of our lives. Judicial setting. We're studying the judgment seat of Christ. But we have that inner peace that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And why not? Because God did not pervert justice, declare one righteous who is not in Christ Jesus. That would be perverting His justice. Here's one who never believed in Christ, and God says, well, I really like you. You're in. He perverted His justice. This person is not righteous. So He's not going to pervert His justice. Because God does not pervert justice and declare one righteous who is not righteous in Christ Jesus, we stand righteous before the justice of God because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And now, we can wear on our heads for all eternity a wreath that will eternally praise Jesus Christ. Now, we don't do that too much in America. But, I say, you got to understand, about a year and a half ago, I planned we would be in this study right now during the Olympic time. See? And if you believe that, I got some land to sell you in Florida. But they received the gold to receive around them. Well, in the old days, they received a wreath that they wore on their head. Just a curl-up wreath. But it was so spectacular. And everyone in their hometown, everywhere they knew, go, they knew that, what that wreath was about. It was a great honor. You will get to wear the honor of the wreath of righteousness for all eternity if Christ offers it to you. Job 9:2. In truth, I know this is so, but how can a man be in the right before God? You get the idea? Righteousness is the issue. In the 10 questions of Job, righteousness of God is the issue. Not love. Righteousness. God loves you. Doesn't mean you're going to be saved for all eternity. Only if you have that righteousness will you be saved. And we're talking about receiving a crown of righteousness to wear for all eternity. But in Job 9:2, how can a man be in the right before God? This is the same Hebrew word in 4:17, tzedak, meaning righteous. How can a man be righteous before God? I'll tell you how. Because Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. 1 John 2:1. People know God is love. But people, I want it to be just as important to you. Christ is righteousness. Christ is righteous. And because He is righteous, you and I are saved. Okay? Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And when anyone believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are imputed with God's perfect righteousness, placed in Christ, and they are therefore righteous before God. And we can wear for all eternity a crown that will glorify the righteousness of Christ, glorify the righteousness of His Father and ours, God the Father. Job 15:14. What is man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? And all for all eternity, we can wear a crown that will glorify the only one born of a woman, yet perfect in righteousness, Jesus Christ. This crown will forever remind us that we were born unrighteous. Yet, because of Jesus Christ our Savior, we're eternally righteous. This crown that we will wear for all eternity, if you're awarded it, will remind you and everyone, I was born unrighteous, but because of the righteousness of Christ, I am saved forever. So people, we see that righteousness, not love, is a great issue before God. And we can wear this badge, crown, wreath, that will glorify the one who was sent and is eternally righteous before God, and because of whom we are eternally righteous before God. Continuing back to 2 Timothy 4:8, in the future, judgment seat of Christ. Now we have to pause and read verses 6 and 7 to go back before verse 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul's getting ready to die. Departure from this earth to heaven, from this life to life in the presence of Christ. I have fought the good fight. We saw last week how faith, not doing something but just having faith, is the great battle. Our flesh nature does not want to believe and walk by faith and give the credit to God. It wants the credit. I have finished the course. Now, this is why I went back to read this. This is important. This introduces part of the basis of receiving the crown at the reward of the judgment seat of Christ. God has a plan for everyone from the moment you believed in Christ as Savior until you're promoted home or the rapture occurs. The great problem is that few believers finish the course. Some get started pretty good. Things become distracting. Other things more important. And they get off course. Some think, well, I know it all. I don't need any more. They get off course. They're distracted by other things. Not necessarily sinful things, but things in the world. Family, wealth, pleasure, so on. You know, having that sense that God has a plan for you is very important in life. I learned this from Bob Thiem. In 1962-3, Billy Graham came to Houston. More people from Baraka, which wasn't the largest church by any means in Houston, had more counselors than any other church. And the council had to go down for the counseling. And Billy Graham got with Bob and asked Bob to join him on his staff and travel with him and be there. That's a great opportunity. I mean, you know, the thing about Billy Graham, I've received some emails running him down for this, running him down for that. Let me tell you one thing about him. In all the years of his evangelism, his gospel never changed. Now, he got along with the United Council of Churches. He got along with the Catholics. He got along with the Calvinists. He got along with the Baptists so that they would invite him in. But his gospel never changed. It is known only to God. How many people will be in eternity because of Billy Graham? That's quite an accomplishment. But he asked Bob to join him on his staff. And Bob thought, no, I want to teach 5 or 6 times a week. I want the freedom to sit in my office and study and teach the Word of God. Thank you, but no thank you. People, we have a destiny in Christ. There'll be a lot of opportunities that will come along. Not all sinful, by any means, but things that will distract you from your journey, your destiny in Christ. You've got to be aware of it at all times. Now, this is especially true of young people, people thinking about getting married. Do I want to marry this person? Are they like-minded with me? This type of thing. Because very, very important. So, you've got to make these decisions. Work, where, all these things. You have a destiny in Christ. And this is part of receiving the crown of righteousness. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me. Say, in the future. This is very important, that little phrase, in the future. This is so peaceful. Paul has turned away from time here on earth with no regrets and is looking forward to immediately going to heaven where there is nothing but the eager anticipation of unspeakable blessings, referring specifically to the judgment seat of Christ and which occurs right after the rapture. There is laid up for me. How about the history of man? We have things we value. Probably most every one of you has something in your home you cherish, you value. Sometimes its value is sentimental. This belonged to my parents, my grandparents. Sometimes it's valuable. This is a very valuable object financially. But we value it. One of the problems today is that so often you cannot just leave out and to look and enjoy those things you value. You've got to hide it. Got to lock it up. Bury it in a closet somewhere. Once in a while you may bring it out, but you got to keep it away so it doesn't get stolen by people. A liberal government is so often protects the housebreaker over the house owner. But we hide things we value. Well, when Paul thinks about going to heaven, living in the eternal estate, what he really thinks about is what is laid up for him in heaven. Now, and lay right now, and he will receive it openly at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be wonderful, people. We're going to be there. I hope this is a reality to you. You're going to be standing there. We're going to watch Paul, John, go up, Peter, go up and get their rewards. We're going to watch the believers of the church of Smyrna, a whole group of them. I would imagine Christ will say, all the ones that are in Smyrna, they'll come up as a group. And I envision him saying, everyone at Spring Valley Bible Church, come up. I want to give every one of you this crown. It's going to be a remarkable time, people. It's a reality. Think about it. Wouldn't you like to have something so precious, so valuable, to wear for all eternity? You can. A precious wreath. The wreath of righteousness. Now, what do you think about when you think about heaven? What do you think about when you think about dying? Most people think about others. Someone they love here on earth. I can't wait to see my mom, my dad, my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, this type of thing. But look at Paul. Paul, as he approaches death, thinks about what heaven is going to be for him, the reward that is set up for him, that he will receive from Christ, and where for all eternity. Everyone's going to recognize Paul for all eternity in his resurrected body. He will have at least three wreaths. But to him, the most important one of all will be the wreath of righteousness. Why? Why is the wreath so important to Paul? Not his resurrected body, minus his inherited sin nature, but a crown of righteousness. Why? Because more than anything else, forever and ever, that wreath will glorify Christ wherever he is in eternity. That's amazing. And every one of you can have this reward. That wreath that he will wear on his head for all eternity will forever give glory to Jesus Christ. And every one of you have the opportunity to wear this glorifying wreath for all eternity. You ever passed a person wearing a Purple Heart or a medal or the Congressional Medal of Honor? It's a great tribute to America. They loved America, demonstrated it by their action under pressure. But here is something even more wonderful. The crown of righteousness. This is not given for works, but for the love of Christ. In the future, there is laid up for me. What joy, what peace, what anticipation of after death, knowing that there is something as wonderful as this that he's waiting for. To me, this is really wonderful. I know a lot of people think about, but I'll see my my mother, my dad, my husband, my wife, my children. Paul, when he thinks about dying, I'm going to be there and get a wreath that will glorify my Savior for all eternity. Get your priorities straight on earth. Get your priorities straight for eternity, people. Get your priorities straight. And for you, young people, do not fear death, but take full advantage of your life to receive the crown of righteousness. You anticipate graduation as soon as you go through K-12. And how you anticipate receiving that diploma? Well, here is something really to strive for. Something to remain faithful to throughout your life. Receiving the crown of righteousness that is laid up for you. It is not wrong, people, to anticipate receiving that diploma. And dear people, it is not wrong to anticipate receiving rewards from Jesus Christ. He set them up. He's going to give them. Therefore, we want them. We should want them. He set up the standards. So it is not wrong to anticipate receiving the crown of righteousness or any of the crowns that were studied last week, the crown of life. In the future, there is laid up for me. In the Greek, this is a dative of advantage. It will be to your eternal advantage to receive this reward. Let me tell you something. There's no greater advantage in eternity in heaven than receiving the decoration that you will wear on your head for all eternity. People, you've got heaven. It's in. It's in the bag. Every one of you who believed in Christ as Savior, you're in. Don't be satisfied with just being in. Go for the gold. Go for it. Go for the wearing the wreath of righteousness. The crown that glorifies the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Savior friend. We, if we could but comprehend all that is involved with the issue of God's perfect righteousness and our own unrighteousness and the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ and how by faith alone, in Christ alone, we are imputed, made perfectly righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous. That's astounding. I want to wear something that thanks Him, glorifies Him, dramatizes Him for all eternity. Which the Lord, the righteous judge. Paul refers to Jesus Christ as the righteous judge. To dramatize the significance of this wreath. The Greek word righteous, dikaios, is an adjective meaning right, just, or righteous. Again, people, this is the issue in our salvation. This centers on the essence of God. Many like to quote 1 John, God is love. But people never forget, God's essence is perfect righteousness. And He cannot act outside of His righteousness. He cannot save someone who's unrighteous. That would be pervert His essence. Here it refers to the essence of Christ. Then we have the noun basis, to judge, referring to one who decides. Who's going to be deciding? Your Savior. You're going to see Jesus Christ probably for the first time, and we'll see Him in the air, but it'll be so dramatic, and we'll be so excited, we're worshiping Him and all. But you're standing there looking at Him. I wondered what He would look like all my life. Here's what He looks like. Uh-oh, He's my judge. See? First time you're going to really consciously focus on Him, He is your judge. Now, to give you some idea of the weight of this noun judge, in one lexicon, it covers four columns. Four columns in the lexicon. So you got the lexicon at four columns, small print, and in four columns it covers this word to judge. But it refers to the one who sits to render justice. And it is used to describe Jesus Christ. People, please understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the God-man. He is the Savior of the world. But never forget, He is the righteous judge. Jesus Christ is often described as the judge separating the sheep from the goats, wheat from the tares, wheat from the chaff. James didn't know if you knew what a chaff was, so he put it in there. You'd know what chaff is. Matthew 25:46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. People, that's a staggering thought. Those who do not have their righteousness into eternal punishment, but those who have His righteousness into eternal life. Loving Jesus Christ with the love from the Holy Spirit is the basis of rewards, not eternal life. Eternal life is dependent upon possessing perfect righteousness. And yes, there will be a multitude of people created by God, loved by God, who will spend eternity in eternal punishment because they rejected the love of God. That is, they refused to believe in His Son. Psalm 7:9. Oh, let the evil of the wicked, those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, they are considered wicked by God, even if their deeds are considered good by man. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish, that is, cause to stand, the righteous. This Hebrew word refers to those who conform to the perfect standard of God's righteousness. For the righteous God tries or judges the hearts and minds. Not so much the actions, but the hearts and the minds. Remember, we've studied now that the judgment seat of Christ, good and bad. What determines good and bad? It's on your soul. Was it of the work of the Holy Spirit, or was it the work of the flesh? Verse 10, my shield is with God. We're still in Psalm 7. My shield is with God. Rewards in eternity, but shield in time. Who saves, delivers the upright in heart. Verse 11, this is our verse. God is a righteous judge. This declaration is so important when you consider Job 8:3. Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? The resounding answer, of course, is no. And why not? God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. That's in the Scripture. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. Do you think about God that way? When you want to excuse God's wrath, just remember this. He has indignation every day. This Hebrew word comes from one who foams at the mouth. That is, God is declared to be angry at unrighteousness every day, all day. He's pleased with righteousness, indignation toward unrighteousness. Back to 2 Timothy 4:8. In the future, judgment seat of Christ, there is laid up, reserved for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award, future tense, referring to the judgment seat of Christ, to me on that day. The lexicon, to give or to do something necessary in fulfilling of an obligation or expectation. While it does not specifically say the crown of righteousness, remember James 1:12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, why is that verse there? Go back to the 2 Timothy 4:8. The righteous, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. That is, to give or do something necessary in the fulfillment of obligation or expectation. People, let me tell you something. How do you know you're saved? Because I have believed in Christ as Savior. How do you know He's going to stay that way? Because He's faithful. Our faith is in Him. Now, how do you know you're going to receive the crown of righteousness? He's declared so in His Word. He is God. He is Christ. He cannot be unfaithful. He will receive, He will distribute this crown to those who believe in Him and make it their life, appearing His second coming and fulfilling their destiny. And, now to continue the verse 8, and not only to me, but also to all, throughout all church age, to the believers of Spring Valley Bible Church, who have loved His appearing. Now don't be confused by the fact that this is translated in the past tense, who have loved His appearing. Now, I had to make a decision, either just forget it, or at least try to help you understand it. Let me help you. In the Greek, this is a perfect active participle. The perfect participle in Greek stresses the state brought about by the finished results of an action. And therefore, who has loved is appearing. It's pictured as a finished result. See? Even though we're in time doing it, it's pictured, when it's put in the perfect participle, it's pictured as finished result. That describes your life. Staying on course, God's plan for your life, and loving and looking forward to His appearing. The rapture of the church, meeting Him in the air. Why do we spend time on that? Things like this right here. So that that's something you live for, day in and day out. People, there is so much going on in the world. It is amazing. If you're not familiar with G5, I challenge you to go on Google and just put in G5. It will horrify you what's coming up in 2018, 2019. It is no accident from our God that Donald Trump is president. We were on a course of globalization and a satanic use of G5. Trump has put a stop to what most politicians, a lot of Republicans, Bush, McCain, and a lot of others, and all Democrats, want globalization and to use G5 against America itself. He put a stop to it. And if he's president, and he will be president in 2019, it's going to be to our advantage that he is president. If for no other reason, just what's happening with G5. And he's already started acting on it. It is unbelievable. Things that are going on in the world for Satan to hurry up and set up his kingdom. And for whatever reason, God put a brake on it, globalization and all this stuff, for a few moments. And therefore, that's where we are. But that's why they hate him. That's why the media hates him. That's why politicians hate him. That's why business people hate him. They hate him. He has stopped. I mean stopped globalization. Halted what they were going to do with G5. Halted it. Changed the direction of it. He needs your prayers. Every day. Every day he's under siege. He needs your prayers. We don't fully grasp all that's going on in the world. And while all this is going on, you and I live our peaceful life, our homes, our families, church, work, and walk in the Holy Spirit, looking forward to the appearing of Christ. I'm not really worried about globalization. Christ is coming one day. I'll meet Him in the air. I'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, and then I'll be with Him for all eternity. That's why I teach these things, people, so that there's peace in your soul, joy, comfort, anticipation in your soul, not fear, not worry, not wanting to just get away from it all. I just want to close my eyes and not even deal with it. It's what a lot of people do. I don't even want to hear about it, don't want to know about it, just don't deal with it. That's not the Christian attitude. I want to know, because in the midst of all of that, I have that peace, that joy, that I will stand before Christ and receive a crown that will reward Him for all eternity. Now, so we come to the all-important question. What are the basis of receiving the wreath of righteousness? To grasp the first requirement to receive the wreath of righteousness, we must examine the paragraph, 2 Timothy 4:6-8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Now, he talks about his life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He's characterizing his life. Right there are the conditions of receiving a crown of righteousness. Fought the good fight. Finished the course. Kept the faith. Then he goes from his time, how he lived, to the future. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. We have two conditions. First, you will note, there is no period after verse 7, meaning that what follows in verse 8 is but a continuation of verse 7. Paul is declaring that he has fulfilled the plan of God for his life. Here is where the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ comes into all importance for young people. A young believer in Jesus Christ, your entire life is vital to the day when you stand before Jesus Christ. How you live today, the judgment seat of Christ, knowing the will of God for your life, and then fulfilling the will of God for your life. Let me just quickly go through some things to remind you so that you can receive this crown. The operational will of God. Every believer needs to know this, young person or whatever age. What does God want me to do? First of all, this may surprise you, this is the same for every believer. So as you grow and maybe get married, this will be the same for both you and your partner. Two, every believer is to be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. This is also called walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, live in the Spirit, keeping step in the Spirit, Galatians 5. This is where you and your spouse encourage each other to always be filled with the Holy Spirit. One should always be in the Spirit. It's really tough when both are out of the Spirit. That's when chairs and plates start flying. But hopefully, when one just remains in the Spirit and can help the other one to get back into the Spirit. All right. So, there's the operational will of God. What does God want me to do? Now, three, there are several assets that God has graciously supplied most believers throughout history to help you be where God wants you to be, the canon of Scripture. This is supplied to most believers, but there are some believers who have to come by this in more difficult means. Study the life of Watchman Nee. If you don't know who Watchman Nee is, that's a fun thing to read. He's written several books, and they're excellent books, especially on the Holy Spirit. Two, the local church, to fellowship with others like-minded, a pastor-teacher who studies and teaches the Word of God, at least one spiritual gift to serve the Lord in that local church. Such assets as prayer, witnessing to others, growing in the knowledge of Christ and of God our Father. And secondly, so there's that will of God. Now there is secondly, a viewpoint will of God. What does God want me to think? See? Does He want me to think like a Republican, like a Democrat, like a communist, like a liberal, like a socialist, like a revolutionist? How does God want me to think? One, this is the same for every believer. So, if you're thinking of getting married, this is far more important than how they look, how much money they can make. Two, His viewpoint is given in the Word, in His Word, and therefore depends on the believer living in the Word of God, so that his, her thinking will be the same taken from the Word of God. And then finally, there's a geographical will of God. Where does God want me to be? This is different for every believer, except for married couples, generally speaking. I say generally because of military type, he may have to go somewhere. But generally speaking, it is the same. Geographical will be the same for husband and wife. This area of the will of God will be easily grasped by the filling of the Holy Spirit, prayer, and may involve providential circumstances. But people, you have to know, what does God want me to think? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to be? Geographical will of God. These are important decisions. See? And they're all important at the judgment seat of Christ. Roman numeral 2, and this is not a long study here. Things declared in Scripture to be the will of God. It is the will of God that every member of the human race be born again. 2 Peter 3:9. 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever, believes in Jesus Christ. And 1 John 3:23. 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4. 2. It is the will of God that all believers be experientially sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. A believer is to be set apart to God by living in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the believer is set apart from the world and sin. 3. It is the will of God that all believers be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. 4. It is the will of God that we give thanks to God in everything. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, suffering. Thank you, Father, that I have been deemed worthy to suffer for you. 5. It is the will of God that believers suffer. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Suffering is designed by God to bless us. Therefore, we are to give thanks for it. And as part of our reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Crown of life last week. 6. It is the will of God for every believer to be productive. 1 Peter 2:15. 7. And by doing the will of God, you may receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Now, I've been teaching for 43 years, and sometimes things like divine guidance, will of God, it's mine. But it's not, to be academically honest. So I don't want to be plagiarizing here, so I give thanks to R.B. Thiem and his teaching of these various doctrines. I've added things, changed things, but basically, he taught me the basic idea. So he deserves to be recognized as the source of that which we just studied. The first basis of receiving the crown of righteousness is to do the will of God throughout your life. The second is to love the Lord and love His coming. Will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing throughout your life, loving, waiting for the appearing of Jesus Christ. As a young person, middle-aged, throughout your whole life, I'm ready, waiting for it, looking for it. See? And then I'll stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and receive the crown of righteousness. All right, it's time now that we go into our communion service and then have fellowship time together after we do the communion. So let's prepare ourselves for communion. I think everyone here is aware we have two elements, the bread and the cup. And the bread represents the body of Christ, who, as God chose to be man, as man chose to be our servant, died on the cross. The cup represents the Holy Spirit, spiritual life. He's leaving. How are we going to know how to live? You will follow one just like me, only spiritual. Be the Holy Spirit. Don't look for another human like me. Look for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we remember both of these this morning as we take of this service. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the church age. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for this one ritual that You have definitely left us, communion service. Just a time to pause, to reflect how we entered the plan, when we entered the plan, whatever our age was, circumstances, and how to live in that plan. We praise You, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Heavenly Father, we thank You for the decision of Christ to become man, that we might become the righteousness of Him and spend eternity with You and with Him. We can never repay that debt. It's only a joy to live our life glorifying Him, being a witness throughout our life, Jesus Christ. And then, Heavenly Father, for all eternity, glorifying Him through the war and the crowns. I praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Sir, it's our policy that everyone hold the cup until everyone has been served. Will you please stand? In the same manner, Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the food of the Word that we've enjoyed this morning, the anticipation of standing before Jesus Christ, not the fear of it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the passages that instruct us on how by living by faith we might receive rewards from Christ. Now, Father, we thank you for the food we're about to take of together. And Father, we pray for those in our assembly, like Dalton, you know his need of his physical body. Please touch his body, healing, give him strength renewed. Bring Tish home safely, Father. And then, Father, pray for everyone in this assembly. We all have problems in different ways. Don't always tell everybody our problems, but we have them and you know them. How wonderful it is to have a God that we can go to personally and present our problems, knowing, Heavenly Father, that you know and care about the things we go through. Father, we praise you for this morning. Praise you for the Word. In Christ's holy name, amen.